You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, welcoming you back to the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. Going to finish up our grades here right now on CBD. We're going to take a look at the defensive side of the ball. Matt Wilhelm, we'll start along that defensive line where you got Ataba Rubin getting a sack. You had a very strong performance, I thought, from Billy Wynn. Desmond Bryant was all over the place. Ishmaili Kitchen, Sione Fua. I thought they played one of their better games. They held the Atlanta Falcons to just 63 yards. That's season low for rushing yards allowed by the Browns. 2.7 yards per carry, also a season low. I thought it was one of their better performances of the year. I'm going to give them a very solid A-.
Yeah, I'm going to give them an A- as well. And which not only did they limit them to 63 yards, but what I love is that they have a long of 7 yards.
No
chunk plays. That means that they were being very disruptive. They were getting off blocks. And even if they're throwing an arm, that cleaned up, you know, for our lead tackler, who we'll get into next as a part of the linebacking group, and Craig Robertson. So he was able to make plays, you know, around the line of scrimmage with a 2 yard gain. So they limit those chunk plays, and they weren't being able to get pushed around to open some of those bigger seams, as we've seen this defensive have done to them throughout the rest of the season.
No question about it. And I thought that was key, the way that they played up front. We thought it was a good matchup. Obviously, Atlanta's offensive line's been struggling with injuries, losing a lot of key components there. You talk about the linebackers. Craig Robertson fills in for Carlos Dansby, leads the team with 9 tackles. Kirksey had 5. Kruger had 2 sacks, including a forced fumble. Mingo played well. Jabal Sheard gutting it out. What a tough, strong performance by him. I thought this linebacking core was excellent in this one. They did a good job patrolling the middle of the field. They did a good job of sure tackling on some of those runs and also some of the short passes. And that's why I think you look at this group, and I'm going to give them an A. When you think about what you're getting without Carlos Dansby out there, you were nervous about this group, and yet they came through with flying colors.
Oh, you definitely are. And even looking at the stat sheet, you look at, you know, Robertson led the team with 9 tackles. You've got Kirksey in the top 4 with 5 tackles. Then you look at Paul Kruger. When you talk about who's in what room, you know, Paul Kruger, 3 tackles, 2 sacks, you know, 1 tackle for a loss, you know, very productive overall. And then you look at Barkevious Mingo active, you know, giving that strength and speed, or thunder and lightning, to Kruger being the thunder, Mingo being the lightning. There were times his activity level, he might have had the production, but his activity level and the way in which he plays is very high.
No question. Now we move to our defensive backfield. Joe Hayden with another interception, his 2nd on the season, 2nd in as many games. Another phenomenal leaping grab over Julio Jones. Take away the one play where he took one misstep and Jones beat him for the 24-yard touchdown. Jones would have been targeted 12 other times on the day, just 4 catches for 44 yards. He was completely locked down by Joe Hayden. I thought Buster Skrine had an opportunity for an interception. Whitner had one that went through his hands. But all in all, when you consider that Tashawn Gibson got knocked out of this game, you hold Matt Ryan to 27 of 43 passing, 6 yards an attempt. You get the one interception from him. Also, the fumble, a lot of times in due in large part to the coverage. I thought the defensive backfield played very, very well. They would have gotten an A if you come up with maybe those interceptions. Whitner could have really blown that game open, but strong performance from them. And I think in light of the Gip injury, an A-. Again, this back end just continues to be such a solid part of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a B+, just to be, again, continue to be critical. I thought their production, they're still, in my eyes, playing the most productive and the highest level playing group on the defense from week to week. And the one other point that I wanted to make, as you talk about Joe Hayden and his misstep, and just for you Browns fans out there who are probably always watching the Browns on offense, that is what we're trying to imply,
exactly,
you know, boot, upon, yep, you know, yep, the defenses is we run, we fake that. You want that defensive back or linebacker to take one step, you know, and allow a Gordon, an Austin, a Benjamin, a Hawkins, a Gabriel to run by you and get that one step. And that one step is all we need, and why we've been so great throwing the ball down the field with Brian Hoyer all year.
It's exactly right. That's exactly what it's all about. Just putting that one, as you said, that step
little bit of
confusion, a little bit of doubt. There. Special teams, Billy Cundiff made all 4 of his field goals that were within his range. He missed the 1 field goal that was out of his range from 60 yards, almost resulted in a horrific play for the Browns, but I'm not going to hold that miss against him. I thought he did a good job. Spencer Lanning only had 1 punt on the day, believe it or not, and that went for 41 yards. I thought they did a good job containing Devin Hester on the kick returns. They stopped him inside at the 10-yard line 1 time. A good job with them on the punt returns as well. Overall, special teams was solid. We had no kick returns and no punt returns, interestingly enough. Overall, this group was good. I'm going to give him a B plus.
I'm going to give him a B plus as well. I think, again, the fact that we got Billy Cundiff back on track after he's had some misses in the Houston football game, going indoors will always allow him to do that. But again, anytime you limit Devin Hester and or you take away his ability to be a game changer, means you played an amazing football game. For that reason, I even give him an A minus.
An A minus.
Yeah.
Joel Batonio's tackle. Is that
yeah,
what got
that
him
is
in
the
A?
Critical. Yes, absolutely. You're
yeah.
definitely right.
All right, good. I like that. I like that. All right, we went very long with Vic, so we're going to take a quick break here. We want to get your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Actually, we'll hop on the phones really quickly before we do that. Is our guy Chevy there? All right, let's get our guy Chevy on the phone. What's up, Chevy?
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Good. I just want to talk about I really miss Vic. Thank you for having him on the show. Boy, he's a real Browns fan. I love it.
He sure is, yes, and you got to love that. He watches the Browns. I still talk to Vic all the time, and, yes, he is very interested and invested in what this team is doing, and he still can't believe that when the Browns are finally 7-4, so is everybody else in their division for the first time in the history of the NFL.
Yes. All right, I want to talk about Mike Pettine, his mental toughness, his fertile environment for young players. Guys like Gordon, that guy is such an unselfish player, and he is really lifting Hoyer personally. Like Shanahan lifted the Giants quarterback on that drive against New England. I think that's a fact of his leadership. Thanks, guys.
No question. Mike Pettine's leadership, you can see it trickle down to this team. You see the buy-in from guys. You see the hustle from guys. You got Joel Batonio running like he does. That's because they believe in the coach, what he's saying. Next man up continues to have success for this team. Again, because they believe in the coach, they're bought in.
Absolutely.
And what about Gordon's leadership? This is a team that's really starting to surprise me. I mean, they are really together.
Chevy, I don't mean to disagree with you, and I know you're an active caller in our show every single day, but, you know, for Gordon and unselfish in his one-game return, in my eyes, he's not there yet. And I think his actions in the offseason and his ability to make a selfish decision about himself, whether he was sitting there by himself or with, you know, some of his friends, it was that selfish decision, which is why in which we missed him for 10 football games. So his leadership in one football game cannot be judged. And at this point, in my eyes, he's still very selfish and needs to play his way into a leadership role in this football team.
And he said that. I mean, to his credit, when he came back, he said, I've been bad and I need to show you and prove every day that I'm back that I can do the right things. And that's what Josh Gordon is going to try to do. Let's go out to the best city in the nation, not named Cleveland, Las Vegas. Ryan's on the phone. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, Vic. Wow, that's like the perfect person to speak to about this this week's game. I mean, he literally is very knowledgeable on both sides of the
ball. That's why we had him.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, if you're from Toledo, you know all about the Michigan and Ohio State game. Or obviously, if you're living in, you know, Youngstown, you know all about Pittsburgh versus Mark Brown. So again, yeah, that's a great scenario. Real quick on the Buffalo Bills, I don't know if a lot of people remember, because I know a lot of my family's members went, and this was, I believe it was 96, 97, or 98, the Buffalo Bills had Cleveland Browns Day. They literally invited us all out there to wear our Cleveland Browns gear because we didn't have a team. The reason I brought that up in the first place, before I talk about this week's game, why was it never brought up to possibly play the Jets and Buffalo Bills playing at Cleveland Browns Stadium last week, due to the fact that they were so courteous to us when we didn't have a team? Not even the Steelers or Cincinnati Bengals didn't do that for us, but the Buffalo Bills had a courtesy day for the Browns fan base. So I'm just wondering, why do you guys have any knowledge about why they didn't pick Cleveland to have that game at?
I know they're redoing the sod at the stadium, so I think logistically it just wasn't the right place.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if it was for some other reason.
No,
but again, with this game coming up this week, obviously, Vicks is the Browns. I'm out here in Vegas. The odds makers on a neutral field say the Browns would win because you're going to get 3 points. You know, it's -2 Buffalo. So on a neutral field, it'll be the Browns Vegas pick. But in my honest opinion, I think that, it's a flip of a coin. These two teams, obviously, being at Buffalo, I think they have more of an upper hand this week. You know, they're coming back from not playing at home last week, and I think that's unfair. They dominated, obviously, last night. So, again, this is a game in which I know the Browns have to win for so many reasons. We are already in the playoffs, and I think that's the most unfair season in the world to have a 7-4 record. There is 11 teams in the AFC that are either 500 or better.
Yep.
There is only 6 teams in the NFC that are 500 or better. And literally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-9, and they're not even out of contention to win that division. So, again, this is one of those years that's rarity, but But again, this every single game is a playoff mentality, in my honest opinion. I just see it being a close game. It's way too close to call. I like Vic's prediction, but me personally, I can't see which way or the other. Do you guys have a feel of what we will win at, what side of the ball, or do you guys feel an advantage on what we have maybe against them?
Oh, I think that, you know, what scares us most about the Buffalo Bills is, you know, the defensive line that, you know, Vic touched upon and how productive they were. I think 7 sacks last night against the New York Jets, 9 tackles for a loss and an interception. So very disruptive. And I think that is the recipe for disaster for the Cleveland Browns offense. And one other point that I wanted to make, as he said, that we're entering into that playoff mindset of this football team with 5 games remaining, and then just to get into the tournament. And it's a great mentality to have, and is it true? Absolutely. The fact that we essentially can control our own destiny. But the one thing, only because I've been in that situation multiple times in my career, is the margin for error is so small when you create that playoff scenario and you're playing not to lose these football games instead of playing fearlessly and being aggressive and imposing your will on a team. There's a tendency, and we hope it doesn't creep into the mindset of Brian Hoyer to, you know, this team needs me, every throw can change a game, and he starts playing hesitant as of going out there and playing confident, because being in that playoff, this playoff scenario so early can actually work against us as opposed to working for us.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go.
Let's go.
Play to win. You haven't been in this situation in forever.
Right.
Just let it all hang out.
Let it all hang out.
All where they may.
You are exceeding expectation in everyone's eyes who is a honest football fan.
Yep.
And what this team has done in their first year gets us excited for the years to come.
Yep.
So let's live in the moment and take them for who they are and understand we are taking steps and building that foundation. And if we get there, let's go and push that pedal to the metal and continue to exceed expectations. But right now, we can't lose a game. We can't lose this one and play that way going into these last 5 games.
You can't do that. And I find in anything, in any walk of life, any competition that you're in where it comes down to your skill and your resolve under pressure, if you're worried about losing and not thinking about winning, you've already lost.
You're defeated before the game started.
Correct.
Absolutely right,
yeah,
Nathan.
You gotta love winning more than you fear losing and more than you're concerned with losing, and you'll be able to get it done. I think this is a Browns team that plays pretty fearless, and
I think
you see that, and you saw that certainly in Atlanta, the resolve they've shown all year long, especially on the road to unbelievable comeback victories now. Tennessee, obviously with the differential, but then this one, the clutch touchdown or clutch passing to set up the field goal from Billy Cundiff at the end. When we come back, we're going to play a little After Further Review here on ESPN 850 WKNR.